Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If you're not a father, you may be someday. And so it's important to hear some things that the scripture talks about concerning us as men. In Ezekiel, the prophet was writing, "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." This is the Lord. He's talking here. "And the Lord said, I sought for me a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." I know that's pretty heavy scripture to open with, but I want to preach to us on this thought for a few moments today. The right man for the job, standing in the gap. Praise God. Let's pray together for the preaching of the word today. Father, we give you glory and honor today, and we thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, your long-suffering and desire to spare and save your people. Today, let us hear what the Spirit would say. And I pray that every man under the sound of my voice today will be challenged and changed and encouraged to be the man that stands in the gap. Today, Lord, let us hear this word and receive it in good ground. We ask it now in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout of praise this morning? Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. You may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. The right man for the job. Praise God. You know, when you read this, it just looks like a very dismal passage of Scripture, because of the end that God speaks of in that last verse, that he ends up pouring out his wrath and putting judgment on them. But verse 30 is mercy. God is saying, I would rather have mercy. I would rather spare. I would rather bless and increase and not have to do that. So he said, I'll just take a man. If I can get a man that would stand before me for the land, but I didn't find any. I pray that won't be true in our day. I pray that there'll be men that will take a hold of this and say, I'm going to be the one that stands. I'm not trying to exalt us over people and us be exalted in ourselves. I simply want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be the right man for the job. I want to be able to stand in the gap. I want to be able to make up the hedge. I want to be able to be a connection between people and the Lord. I don't want to be any voids there. I don't want to be anything like hollow places that people can't get through to get to God. I want to be a bridge, a network, something that can help people get to God. But we're talking about our fathers today. I want to talk about them for a moment. And let me tell you, any dad in here will probably tell you that becoming a father is so joyous. The initial pride that we feel when that child is born, and the joy we feel because the child is born, and is overwhelming. But I think a little more overwhelming is when the reality sets in that I'm responsible for this life. That now I have a new job. I've been a husband, and That's the way God designed it. He created man. He said it's not good for him to be alone, and he gave him Eve. But then he told them, now be fruitful and multiply. So not only were they going to have the challenges of married life, but now you get the joy of raising children in this world. And so we realize that there comes great responsibility when we become a dad. But I want to encourage every man in here today that you are the right man for the job. Hello, Dad. If you are a dad, a father today, then you are the right man for that job. Now, there's a lot of times that people are the right fit for a job, but they don't do their job. It's up to us to do our job. God made us the right man for the job. We just got to do the job. Hello? Come on, guys, get with me in here today. I'm not here to scold you. I'm here to remind us that God gave us the ability to be fruitful and multiply in the land. But he also gave us a responsibility to be a father to our children, to be a husband to our wife, and to be men of God standing up in the land. Yeah? The right man for the job. Not just any man. You're the right man for the job. You're not just a sub. You're not a temp. You're the right man for the job. And as Paul would tell the church in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If you ever have those days where you feel like, I don't know if I can do this, when you're holding that newborn baby in your arms and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm ready for this, if I can do this, let me encourage you with the word today, Paul, because Paul said, whatever state I'm in. And then he said, I can do all things. So when you find yourself in the state of fatherhood, you can do it. You can do it. I'm not just talking about a warm body. I'm talking about being a dad, being a father, being involved, standing in the gap, making up the hedge, making sure that there's no void places in that child's life. You can be the dad that God called you to be because you are the right man for the job. Don't take on the image of fathers that the world has created. Everywhere in movies and in media, you see that dads are the laughing stock, clumsy, bumbling, don't know anything. You're just blind to the obvious, always getting in trouble, always making mistakes. I mean, you just watch any movie that's got a dad in it, and he's always goofing up. You hardly ever see one that's got a dad that knows exactly what he ought to be doing. And they're always, his wife is, and in the movie, the wife, she rolls her eyes at him. The kids poke fun at him. It's always, don't accept that role, Dad. Don't think, well, that's just, you know, and I like them. I've got dad jokes. But how come there's no mom jokes? It's always dad jokes. Oh, that's a dad joke. You know, you know what they're talking about. Like, that's dad. He's just, you know. And that's funny, and it's okay. I like dad jokes. I tell them all the time. I do. I'm always making those dad jokes. But I don't want to put on that robe that the world has designed for us. And when people see that you're a dad, they just think you're some kind of clumsy, lazy, good for nothing, you know. Listen to me, wives and children, you be careful that you don't start viewing your dad in that light. Yeah? The scripture still tells children that they should honor their father and their mother. And Paul wrote in Ephesians, wives, reverence your husband. And dad, you've got to remember that God created you to be the head of your household, to be the spiritual leader in your household, to be the priest of your house. Yeah? And that's a role that God gave you. That's a role that God designed for you. You are the right man for the job. Yeah? I know sometimes we don't see ourselves that way. But we are more than just a source of income. We are the head and the priest of our home. Fatherhood could almost be called or recognized as a calling. And I'll tell you why I see it like that. Paul wrote to the ministry, the church and the saints and the ministry. He said this about coming into the kingdom work in 1 Corinthians. He said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty men after the flesh, and not many noble are called." And I know he's talking about the preaching of the gospel and the church and the maintenance of the church and those things. And he's saying God is getting people that are willing. God is getting people that have faith. And he's not looking at their stature. It's just like when he sent the prophet to anoint David. He said, "Don't look on his outward appearance." He said, "Because you don't see like I see. I look at their heart." And he went and he saw all these great, fine young men that Jesse had, but it was that little ruddy lad that came off the backside of the field that he anointed to be the king, because he was a man after God's heart. And so your family is your first ministry. Hello? When you're married, your wife, not your mom, not your dad, not your aunts, not your uncles, not your friends, not your classmates, they all take a back seat to that spouse. That's the way God designed it. That's not being disrespectful to anybody, to your parents, to your grandparents, nobody. But nobody takes the place of your spouse. Your spouse is your first ministry. And you may not feel very capable. You may not be the most educated. You may not be bringing in the most money. That don't matter. You're married in the sight of God. You have a vow that you took before God, and God has now made you the right man for the job. You're the right man to be the husband to that wife. And when children come into the world, they're your first ministry. Your family, your wife, and your children. And you may not have, you've never been a father until then. You've never had to do the things that dads do until then. But God gave you the ability to do it, and he put you in the position to do it because that's what he desired and that's what he designed, so that we could be fruitful and multiply in the world. But he told us we need to be training up our children in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart from it. Guess what? You're the right man for the job. And it's time that men start standing up and standing in the gap before God. God says, "I want a man that will not just stand for their country, not just stand for their beliefs in politics." He said, "But I want a man that will stand before me. I want somebody that will step up and say, 'God, here I am. Send me.'" God was looking for a man. In some places, the prophet would say, "Lord, here I am. Send me." I wish there would be some men today in this world that would jump up and say, "God, here I am. I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up the hedge." You say, "Well, I'm just one." Well, there's power in one. Don't compare yourself. Stop it. Stop comparing yourself and measuring yourself by the world's standards. Don't measure yourself by some other family. Don't look at another guy and say, "He's a better dad than I am. He's got a different family than you do." You be the head of your household. You be the dad to your children. You be the husband to your wife, and God will bless it. Don't just be a man. You know, we check off, sometimes we have forms fill out and it'll say gender. We check off male. Well, that's the way God designed it. You had no say in that. God, you came out, you're a man. No matter what anybody else says, you're a man. You can't change biology. That's it. But it's more than just being male in gender. Don't just be a man. You could be a, because if you're just a man, you can be a good man. You can be a bad man. But be a man of God. We always say, "Be the man." Well, don't just stop there. Be a man of God. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a bishop to be a man of God. You're a man of God in the way you walk. You're a man of God in the way you talk. You're a man of God by the way you conduct yourself. You're a man of God by the way your heart, the condition of your heart. Before David was ever king, while he was still keeping the sheep, he was a man after God's heart. And if we could just learn to be a man after God's heart, he'll teach you how to be a leader. He'll teach you how to take care of people. He'll teach you how to defeat the giants in the land. Don't just be a man, be a man of God, a man after God's heart. Be men of commitment. Be men of conviction. Be men of consecration. Be men of faithfulness. Faithful in the things of God. Faithful to the house of God. Oh, it'll be like David. It won't be like David. David loved the habitation of his house. He loved when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." He loved God's house. He wrote the very first psalm. He addressed men. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night." That's why his family will be blessed. We read, we always, on Mother's Day, at Proverbs 31, woman, but what about the Psalms 1 man? It's like God, we think God only designed women to be blessed and for children to raise up and call her blessed and for her to be blessed by the works of her hand. But God is telling men at the beginning of that work, if you'll just meditate on my word day and night, if you'll walk in my ways, you'll be a blessed man. Yeah, you'll be a blessed man. God will take care of you. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Brings forth his fruit in his season. You know what that is? Being fruitful and multiplying. And God's blessing you because you're standing in the gap. You're standing before God. Stand in the gap. You're the right man for it. Be men of the word. Be men of prayer. You know, the scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Your prayers are more powerful than you realize. Your presence is more powerful than you realize. You don't understand how much it means for you to just be there, be in your spot, be in your role. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing. You got a chain. If you take a link out, the chain is ineffective because there's a gap. Be the link. Be that strong link. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong men of God. Stand in the gap, fellas. Come on. I need some guys. You know what? The giant came out on the field. Goliath came out and he said, "Give me a man to fight with me." Well, if David could take his sword and cut off his head, I'll take his words and turn it around. Here's your pastor, guys. Give me a man to come stand and fight with me. Not against me, but fight with me. I need some men that'll stand up in this last day and say, "I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to stand with my church. I'm going to stand with my pastor. I'm going to stand up and lift up those feeble hands. I'm going to encourage somebody and I'm going to stand." Because God put you here. So you're the right man for the job. That fervent prayer availeth much. But I think we want to be men, after reading our opening scripture, I want to make sure that we are men of presence. Again, not just warm bodies, not just occupying the same household, but be present. Be there. Know what you're doing. Because when there's a gap, when there's an absence, when there is no father, when there is no man, things go undone. In John chapter 5, Jesus finds his way to the pool of Bethesda. And in that pool, around the pool, it said there was a great multitude of impotent and lame and halt people. And he walks into the midst of it and he comes up to a man who's been lame for 38 years in his body. And he says, "Will you be made whole?" And the man answers him, says in John 5:7, he says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." I have no man when there is no man. Now, I know Jesus was coming to do a miracle that day, but before he showed up, miracles were happening. They were trying to get in the water. An angel of the Lord would trouble the water, and people could get in and have their healing and be blessed and get their miracle. And this guy, he could never get better because he had no man. The miraculous never manifested in his life because he had no man. He just continued in sickness and in ailment. There was never a change in his life. Day after day, he was unchanged because he had no man. What a sad story. There were other men there, but nobody stood in the gap. Nobody ever said, you know what? I've only been here a week. You've been here 30 years. I'll help you out. Nobody had compassion enough to say, this guy has been here. Over, you know his story? He's been sick 38 years. And nobody would even help him to the water because they were all out for themselves. But we need somebody that can stand before God. Somebody that can be compassionate like God. If you were to look, and you can look it up, there's different statistics and places, but I thought about that and I said, well, let's just see what all these surveys and statistics say about the absence of fathers. 71% of high school dropouts had no father figure in their home. 85% of youth in prison had no father figure in their home. When there is no father figure in the home, then promiscuity and teenage pregnancy are more prevalent. When there is no father figure in the home, drug and alcohol use goes up tremendously. Anxiety and depression, even suicide, are more likely to happen for kids who grow up without a father figure in their home. It even goes as far to have some physical ailments. Physical health is affected. They recorded children who had headaches, chronic headaches, stomach problems, stomach aches, even asthma. And the one common factor to all these that they tested, they had no father figure in their home. When there is no man. And I'm not just talking about a man living in the house. I'm talking about when there is no man standing in the gap. When there is no man making up the hedge. When there is no man telling his children about the goodness of God and leading his children, leading his family in prayer and being an example in the house of God, faithfulness to the house of God, be an example of worship. Your children should see you worship God. Your children should see you read your Bible. Your children should see you witness to other people. They should see you faithful in attendance, faithful in support. Yeah? And when that happens, I know you said, well, there's no guarantee for anything. Friend, I know that. I've got friends who raised their kids in church and things happened and their kids moved away from church. But there's always that example. They're still there. They had an example. And that's why the scripture says that when they're old, they you can't depart. You may depart physically from the house, but you can't depart from what you've seen. And you can't depart from what you've heard. And you can't depart from what you've experienced. It'll always be a part of you. And that gives you hope. That's why the prodigal came to himself. He wasn't himself in the world. He was himself at his father's house. And he didn't just say, hey, at home. He said, in my father's house. He knew that what his father had provided, what his father had taught him, what his father had done, the provision was there. And so that's why his father was constantly watching for his return. Because he knew I put something in him. He might get away. He might go far. But I put something in him. There's a line. I stood in the gap. I've made up the head. That's why he could get back. Because there was no hole there. There was no gap that he couldn't get over. There was no bridge out sign there. The father was there with his arms stretched wide. Come on back home. And that's what I want us to realize as men today. That we're not just comic relief for the family. But our presence is so much more powerful than we realize. And I'll tell you that if your presence is powerful, then you got to know that your absence is powerful. Yeah. You know what a car's got to have to run? It's got to have gas in it. Yeah. And when it's got gas in it, it can go. But if there ain't no gas in it, you can sit in it all day long. And it'll never get you where you want to go. Yeah. And let me tell you, dad, you can be a dad because you've procreated a child. But if you're absent from that child's life, they'll never go to where they need to go. They'll never be what they need to be. You need to be there. I'll just say it like this. God created man in his image. We got an image to uphold. No, we're not going to be God, but we can be like God. Are we going to make mistakes? Yeah, but we can be like God. And the scripture says that God is a very present help. Present. God's never like, I'll get to you when I can. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. He's always watching, he's always listening, and he's going to and fro to prove himself on behalf of those whose heart is right toward. He's always there. Never leave you, never forsake you. Always going to be there. I'm a father. I need to be a very present help. My kids shouldn't have to make an appointment with me. I should be ready to drop whatever I'm doing when my kids start calling. And when them grandkids start calling. Because it don't take but one papa. Friend, I'll get up from a steak dinner. I'll come out of the deer stand for Papa. And when we cry, Abba, Father, don't you know he's listening? Don't you know he'll answer? I want to be like my Father. I want to be present. Not just a little. I want to be very present in their time of need. In John 16 and 32, Jesus made a statement to his disciples. He said, that every man has left me. They're scattered. And every man went to his own. Everybody else is going to leave me alone. He said, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me. Your kids ought to always, no matter where they are, if they're in another state, another country, if they're away at school, wherever they are, they ought to always be able to think, I might not see them right now, but I'm not alone. They're with me. My Father's with me. And your kids should know that. Your wife should know that. Your children should know that. Friend, let me tell you, and then it extends out. Your people should know that. Your church should know that. We don't put nobody in front of that family, but be reliable, be present, be a man of God that stands in the gap. Be present. Make up the hedge. You know, Jesus was going to do the hardest thing. He was the Son of the Father. And he was going to do the hardest thing any man had ever done. But he was able because he said, my Father is with me. You don't realize the impact you have on your children when they know they can count on you. When they know that you'll be there. When they know you'll answer. When they know that you've got their best interest at heart. Oh, your children can soar. They can do those great things that God wants them to do. Be present, men. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. I said earlier, you know, we feel like, well, I'm just one guy. What can I do? It's amazing. Because every year when it gets about time to vote, everybody's like, your one vote counts. And people say, I ain't going to vote. It don't matter. But if everybody takes that idea, then nobody votes. And then, you know, things happen. You know, and so they're always trying to, your one vote matters. And that one vote matters. And maybe in the small scheme of things it does, but nothing matters more than you being present in your home and being present for your family. Dads, it's time to stop getting busy with our hobbies. It's time to stop being busy with our jobs. It's time to stop being overtaken with our careers. And it's time to be a present help at home. I'm not just talking about cutting the grass. I'm not just talking about washing the cars and making sure the oil's changed. I'm talking about teaching your children to love God. Teaching your children to pray. Teaching your children to support your church. Be faithful in attendance. Support the vision of the church. Be faithful in their witness. Be faithful in their testimony. Be faithful in front of their friends. If your kids see you cutting up and acting ungodly with your friends, how are they going to act around their friends? But if they'll see you being toeing the line and being godly and holy in front of your friends. And not just being quiet while you're at work because you don't want to rock the boat, but standing before God. The Bible says for us to provide things honest in the sight of men. Are we giving that honest witness in the sight of men? Or are we being someone else because we don't want to rock the boat? We don't want to, I'm not talking about going out and starting trouble and conflicts, but you can stand for God. David was only one man, and he showed up at the battlefield, and he witnessed the whole army of men, seasoned warriors, hiding in their tents, shaking in their armor. A king who was the king over the army of God, afraid to step out on the battlefield. No man would fight, but David said, I will. And one man stood in the gap. He bridged the gap between fear and faith and showed them that in the name of the Lord, anything is possible. And he ran out and he slew the giant that day, took off his head. And when that army saw what one man could do, they got courage and they all stepped into their roles and began to fight and win a victory that day. You'd be surprised what your presence, before his presence, before somebody that knew that God could do it showed up, everybody was afraid. One man that stood up said, God can do it. And a whole army remembered what God had called them to do. God is searching. He said, I was searching for a man. I sought for a man. He was looking among priests and teachers and holy men. He was searching among men that had heard about his glory. They knew what he had done for Moses in the Red Sea. They knew what he had done for Joshua at Jericho. They knew what he had done with Samson. They had heard all the stories. They knew about all the wars that had been won, all the provision that had been made, and still he could not find a man that would come and stand before him to make up the gap. He was upset with them, but he said he was remembering how Moses, when Moses went up into the mount that second 40 days and God was ready to, he said, I'm just going to wipe them out, Moses, and I'll create a new nation, a better nation for you. And Moses fell down before God and said, if you blot them out, blot me out also. And he stood in the gap before God for the people, and God spared him. Friend, let me tell you, your presence is more powerful than you realize. And that's what God was telling me. He said, destruction's coming unless I find a man. Woo, you could save your family a lot of heartache if you just stand before God and make up the gap. You could stop a lot of things from going wrong if you just stand up before God, stand in the gap, and make up the hedge. Don't let there be a distance between your family and God. Be the man. Stand in there. You're the right man for the job. Make up the gap for your family. Make sure there's communication between God and your family. Make sure there's a place of worship in your home, a place of prayer in your home. Make up the gap. Because God's searching for a man. A man. We're frail. We're dust. We're not immortal yet. This body is corruption and it'll go back to the dust. But he said, you're my most prized creation. I formed you in my image. When he created Adam in that garden, he had plans for Adam there. Things went sideways, but he said, I'm not going to just do them in. He said, there'll be another Adam coming, and he's going to bridge the gap. He's going to stand, he's going to stretch out and stand in the gap. He's going to stand in the gap for humanity. He's going between me and humanity. He's going to be the sacrifice. He's going to be the Lamb of God. He's going to shed his blood. He's going to make up the gap. It's going to stop destruction. And Jesus said, the things I've done, you're going to do. Men, it's time to stand in the gap. It's time to make up the hedge. It's time to stand before God so we can stop. You'd be surprised how that could catch on, just being examples, and how that people on your job will see that and they'll want to be better. But don't just try to make up the gap for people outside your household. Your household is your first ministry. Teach it there. But be that example, and who knows, maybe your coworker will pick up on it. And then their friend will pick up on it. And then their children will pick up on it. And suddenly we live in a town that's full of people who would rather serve God than not. That's not impossible. I know pastors that pastor in certain towns that they're the majority in their town. Their church people are the majority in their town. You can't walk down the street without seeing apostolic people walking down the street, because one church said, we're going to stand in the gap before God. We're not going to change and compromise so we can win this town. We're going to show them what this town needs. Not boastfully, but standing before God in the gap. And God has blessed them and gave them a witness and a light in that town. You go to the grocery store, they're there. You go to the department store, they're there. Restaurants, they're there. They own businesses in that town. It's an apostolic town. Because somebody came and started a work. It can happen, and it can happen in Athens. It can happen in Athens. You can stand with me if music wants to come this morning. Guys, stand with me this morning. If you're a guy and you're comfortable doing so, you don't have to be a father yet. You may be one day, so it's important. It doesn't matter if you're a father or not. You still need to stand before God. He said, I'm looking for a man. But I'd like for you to come and stand in the front of the church, because we're going to pray over our men today. So if you would like to make your way as I'm finishing up, all the guys that would, if you're comfortable, if you're not, I'm not going to force you to come down. We're going to pray for you wherever you are. But guys, I'd like for you to come and stand next to one another. When God is talking to Israel here, he's telling them, he's pleading the case. I sought for a man among my people, among them. It's almost like when Jesus came, he came into his own and they knew him not. They wouldn't receive him. He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Oh, that passage right there, just screaming. You just don't know how powerful your presence is and how powerful your absence is. He said, but I found none. And here's the sad thing. He said, because I couldn't find anybody to do it, he said, I poured out my indignation upon them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Our absence is powerful. Two, our absence is powerful, but our absence is destructive. So let's make sure that we are standing in the gap and saying, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. One day, those of you that are not a father yet, one day you may be. And you're going to realize a whole new responsibility in your life. You're going to learn to answer the cry of a child. You're going to learn to just have what they need before they ever ask for it. You're going to learn to be like God is with us, to just have what we need. It'll stress you to no end trying to make sure they're okay. You'll worry day and night. Don't think when they get old and get married that you're going to stop worrying, because you're going to worry more then than you ever did. You never stop caring for them. You never stop being their father. You'll always be that. But men, we need in this world today, as we head toward the end of time, We need strong families, and that begins with strong men. The family began with man. Now, I know there are women who have done great in their households, and I thank God for them. They had no choice, and they had to do what they had to do, and they were great at it. And thank God for strong, godly women to give us examples. Moses had a strong, godly mother that nursed him and instilled in him things that he needed to know so he would not want to join himself to Pharaoh's house. So I thank God for godly women. But men, we can't say, well, if the women can do it, let's just let them do it. Because that's not the way God designed it. God designed us to be men of God. So all the dads, present and future, you're the right man for the job.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.